and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. An American was among the thousands of prisoners freed in Syria this week when the Assad regime fell. Travis Timmerman of Missouri says he had gone to Syria for Christian spiritual purposes when he was arrested months ago. Stacy Gardner is his mother.
Every day was hard for me. At the church, I was crying, and I try not to, but you can't help it.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. is working to bring Timmerman home. Blinken was in Turkey Thursday discussing the future of Syria and its new leaders. Here's CBS News senior national security correspondent Charlie Daggett.
What I'm told is that they're making the right noises, right? But this is a group that may have cut ties with al-Qaeda, but that main group, right, HTS, it's an Islamist militant organization. Its leader, Abu Muhammad al-Jalani, he remains on the U.S. terror list for attacks against U.S. troops.
President-elect Donald Trump outlined a lot of his second-term goals in an interview with Time magazine, which named him its Person of the Year. More from CBS's Nicole Killian.
On the economy, Trump, who made curbing inflation a cornerstone of his campaign, conceded it may be difficult to lower grocery prices. He explained it's hard to bring things down once they're up, but later said this.
Prices are going to start coming down because people can't afford their groceries, and they're going to be affording their groceries very soon.
After meeting with Trump's border czar pick, Tom Homan, New York City Mayor Eric Adams said he supports the administration's plan to deport undocumented immigrants who commit crimes.
We will not be a safe haven for those who commit violent acts. We don't do it for those who are citizens, and we're not going to do it for those who are undocumented.
Adams has also mentioned scaling back his city's sanctuary policies. Thousands of residents have returned to their homes in Malibu, California, now that the wildfire there is 30% contained. At least four homes, including Michelle Geffen's, were destroyed.
Thank you to the people of Malibu for being such kind neighbors and such sweet people. Like, I've never seen a community that strong and that resilient, so I just really have to thank them for being there for us, and we are there for you guys as well.
The red flag warnings for Malibu have been discontinued. The car-sized drones being spotted over New Jersey are still a mystery.
These drones are flying near sensitive governmental sites, infrastructure, military sites, things of that nature where drones are not usually reported.
CBS's Tom Hansen reports the Pentagon is saying there's no evidence the drones pose a foreign security threat or any public threat. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
It's the Packers and the Seahawks Sunday night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers take on the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday night football. Green Bay hoping some of their players are ready to return to action, like linebacker Edgerrin Cooper, who's been impressive as a rookie until he suffered a hamstring injury in practice 3 weeks ago.
It means a lot. It's been a long 3 weeks. I'm just ready to go out there and just play as hard as I could and make plays.
NBA, the Bucks are in Vegas. They face the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow at 3:30 in the NBA Cup semifinals. Women's college volleyball tonight, NCAA regionals, the Badgers in Lincoln, Nebraska, for a rematch with Texas A&M, a team they beat 2 months ago. Wisconsin C.C. Crawford asked how they've improved.
We've grown so much as a team, not only on the court, but off the court. One thing we worked on the beginning of the year was communication, and we've excelled in that. Obviously, we played them earlier in the season, but they're a different team now. It's been 2 months. Same thing for us. We're a different team now, so it'll be a fun matchup.
That's the Badgers' C.C. Crawford. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Variety reports that there will be a new version of the film American Psycho. Good Lord. Even though this doesn't need to happen on any level, a new interpretation of the novel of the same name will star Austin Butler as Patrick Bateman. The red-hot Luca Guadagnino will direct the film. Guadagnino's two most recent efforts are Queer, starring Daniel Craig, and Challengers, starring Zendaya. Both films were nominated for Golden Globes. And things a really talented and incredibly famous guy says that nobody cares about news, the great Elton John says making marijuana legal in Canada and the U.S. is one of the greatest mistakes of all time. Exaggerate much? John was recently named Time Magazine's Icon of the Year and told Time Magazine that as a recovering addict, he believes marijuana is addictive. I'm not saying when he wrote Tiny Dancer, Rocket Man, or Benny and the Jets that he was high, but he might have been high. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, mostly clear skies, light winds, and temperatures just a bit colder than 10 below zero. Pretty good rebound, though, into Friday. Still frigid in the afternoon, though, with highs in the middle teens, sunny skies. We'll see more clouds Friday night. Right now, it's 5 below.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We will be live in Seattle, Washington for a special preview of the Packers taking on the Seahawks. Trigvi Olsen joins me live, as well as our sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you collectively from my dining room and also at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a jam-packed show for you today. Coming up at 10:33, Neil Irwitz is going to join us. He led the communications efforts for National Security Leaders for America and wrote an opinion piece on MSNBC about how he thinks we should approach the second Trump administration. Should be an interesting conversation. That will be at 10:33, right after the 11 o'clock news. Weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. 11:21, Greg Bach.
What's
Wisconsin's
up?
Wisconsin's junior U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin is going to be joining us since her election victory last month. Every other Thursday, the Acme Punk Packing Company's sports guru Paul Noonan joins us at 11:33. And as we do every day now, we wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today, it is the Zucker Bucks edition. And of course, we have our statewide Text to Win adult gift list contest. So next hour, right after the 11 o'clock news, I will give you a keyword that you want to text in using the Civic Media app. And that gives you a shot at either $100 or an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then everyone's in the running for 8 grand prizes. Everything from robotic vacuums. There's a snowblower. There's luggage. There's some really, really nice things. So make sure you join us right after the 11 o'clock news for that keyword that you're going to need to text in. But you have to do it via the Civic Media app. So if you don't have the app yet, go to wherever you get your apps, your app store, download the Civic Media app, and then you will be ready to go next hour. We play this contest 4 times a day, 7 o'clock hour with Pat Kreitlow, 11 o'clock with us, 1 o'clock Todd Alba, and then 4 p.m. with Dominic Salvia. So stick around for that. Right now, though, we need to recognize something. Calvin, are we ready with our song?
What's up?
Happy birthday, Greg Bach.
Oh.
Solicitations and all good things. And I have your birthday Kringle here. I wanted to be able to prove it so you knew that I wasn't lying, which I meant to bring in today.
Yeah, why are you ignoring us today? Why aren't you here?
Well, we'll get into that in a little bit. Okay. How old do we turn today?
We turn 47. 47.
You little youngster.
I have officially entered the bracket of late 40s. I believe that.
How does it feel?
It feels as good as yesterday felt. You know, my knees pop, my neck goes weird, and you know, every morning just be like, yeah, I wish I could sleep 20 minutes more. But no, it's great. I'm all about celebrating your birthday however you want to celebrate it. Now, I if you're over the age of 12 and you're like, I got a birthday month, calm down. But I think it's nice to take your day however you want. If it's nothing, great. But if you want to take yourself out for a meal, you want to go buy yourself a nice present, you want to go hang out with friends, do that. But I love my birthday. It's my special day. It's I enjoy getting the well wishes and the notes from everybody, and I cannot wait to eat the Kringle. And
if it makes it down there tomorrow, we'll
I was going to say, yeah, I'm surprised that seal wasn't popped open, but you know,
no, I held off. I held back this morning.
I appreciate your control. Your control. So
are you and Bridget going out to dinner or anything special?
It's still up to me, because it's so bone cracking cold. I kind of would rather just order in.
Yeah.
And watch some TV and just snuggle on the couch with the dog and the lady and just be comfortable there. But we'll see. If we're feeling dinner, we'll do something. But that's one thing of like birthday. I'm like, well, we must do dinner and we must do my favorite restaurant. I'm always like, as long as I'm hanging out with people I care about, I'm good.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, happy birthday, my friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
The reason I am not there this morning, my husband and I usually leave about the same time in the morning. We both leave about 6:30, but I usually get out about 5 minutes ahead of time. And I've got this rattle on my car. The heat shield is going.
Ooh.
So it makes noise anyway. But I was about 10 minutes away from home at a stoplight, and I pulled out from the stoplight and thought, this is a very bad sound.
Yes.
This shouldn't be a thing, this sound. And so I pulled over and my rear left tire was completely flat. Flat.
Yeah.
So I called my husband. I texted you. We have a little one of those cigarette lighter inflators.
Yeah.
So I got that hooked up and got it back to full. And my husband was coming. He wanted to follow me home so we could drop it off. There's a repair place that's real close to our house.
Yeah.
So in the 5 minutes it took, maybe 10 minutes it took for him to get to me, it was flat again.
Yep.
So, yeah, I had a lot of fun jumping in and out of the car and filling up the tire and then watching it go flat and then jumping back out and filling it up again. But anyway, I'm here. I'm in one piece.
Hey, that's
the car's dropped off. So hopefully they will be able to fix that mess. There must be like a brick in that tire or something that it would go flat that quickly again.
Well, it sounds like what you have is, you don't have it doesn't sound like a puncture. It sounds like you might have a slash on it. I had something similar earlier this year where I was driving and my tire sensors are always off. So it always says, oh, you got to check your tire pressure.
Right.
Well, I was driving one day and I just heard this noise. I'm like, well, that doesn't sound normal at all. So I pulled over and there it was. It was just flat as a board.
It's the flapping.
And when they showed me the tire after they replaced it, it was construction where I was driving. It was Walnut down north side of Milwaukee. And it just slashed my tire straight open. So I'm Kringle will wait. Kringle will stay. If you want to keep the Kringle for yourself, I don't mind. I just care that you are happy, healthy, and home safe. That's all I care about.
Well, thanks, you guys. And thank you for being so flexible this morning as I had a really interesting hour and a half until I got back home. So anyway, I think this is a fascinating article, and I would love people to chime in on this if you live in an area that is affected.
Yeah.
The Wisconsin Examiner, Henry Redman, posted this early this morning, and the headline reads, Pierce County Town Passes Ordinance Requiring Factory Farm Permits.
This is great.
So I think it is good.
Yeah.
If I lived in one of these communities, I would be very concerned about this. The town of about 600 people passed an ordinance requiring factory farms to get permits before they can move into or expand in the community. And we've talked before about, they're called CAFOs.
Yes.
And that stands for Concentrated Animal Feeding Operations. Other communities have faced legal challenges to their ordinances. One actually had to rescind its regulation after there was a change in elected leadership. But Pierce County has seen a lot of expansion of factory farms this year. A dairy in the town of Salem announced plans to expand from 1,700 to 6,500 cows.
Oh, my God.
That seems pretty massive.
That's
to
a
me.
Huge increase.
Right?
Yeah.
From 1,700 to 6,500 cows. And all of that manure has to go somewhere.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. And there's sometimes not plans for that manure and that and how those expanding farms will impact the environmental the environment of the way, where they're in. And Pierce County is not a big county. There's not a lot of people there.
Once they get an application, the ordinance requires the board to send a letter to all of the residents within a 3-mile radius of this proposed CAFO. The board can then grant or deny the license. If it's granted, they can impose conditions on how the CAFO has to operate. In the board's materials about the ordinance, it highlighted enforcement mechanisms that state regulations around CAFOs in the state largely rely on self-reporting to DNR.
Yeah. Okay. Self-reporting. You're on your best behavior.
Yeah.
No, sorry.
A fact sheet about the ordinance says our town is blessed with a stunning mix of farmland, woods, and bluffs overlooking the Mississippi River's Lake Pepin. Rush River is a class one trout fishing destination fed by cool spring fed streams. Everyone has private wells for human and animal consumption. CAFOs with thousands of animals. And again, they're talking about going from 1,700 to 6,500 will bring thousands of truckloads of waste into the town. State and county laws have almost no control over these huge facilities. Without an ordinance, their impact on roads, wells, health, and the economy are unknown. This is already a problem. We already have water issues.
We've talked about CAFOs in the past, about the fact that this is sort of going under the radar and being, and it said in the article that depending on the leadership you have, it's whether or not these can go through. And I'm very proud of Pierce County for doing this. This is a great thing to secure the health of their environment, the health of their people. And really, like, kind of, I think it'd be easy in this political climate to say, like, oh, we can't do this because of business and we can't. No, the people are like, this is more important. We are more important. And we need to know what your plan is for our county.
And certainly, I know farmers struggle. We talk about this all the time. It's a very, very difficult to be a dairy farmer, to be any kind of farmer, has innumerable challenges.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you are part of this community.
Yes. Yeah. You are using
and have some obligations to your community.
Absolutely. And reporting on how you are going to treat the ground and treat the environment, I don't think is going beyond any sort of measure. I think that's perfectly normal. That should be acceptable and the normal. All of them should have to be doing this. If you want to open a business, you have to give an economic impact or environmental impact. Should be the same with all farms.
Yeah, definitely. If you are affected, if you are in a community that is dealing with this, we would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores, apples and bananas 10 to 53% more, and cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Jeffrey from Madison.
I worked for the city of Madison for 34 years. Act 10 cost me $42,000.
Yep.
In 1977, the state of Wisconsin passed a law that says public employees cannot strike. With Act 10, now we can't bargain for working conditions and benefits, so they basically turn public employees into second-class citizens.
Yes.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Maher on Air. Jane Matt Maher, Greg Buck, and Calvin B. coming to you live, respectively, from my dining room and also Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call. You can text. The number is the same. 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking about an article in the Wisconsin Examiner today from Henry Redman about a Pierce County town that passed an ordinance requiring factory farm permits for CAFOs, the town of Maiden Rock. There's a factory farm there that wants to expand from 1,700 to 6,500 cows. That's a lot of cows.
That's a ton of cows.
That's a ton of cows. And we're just wondering if you are live in a community who is dealing with this. 855-752-4842. Cassandra is on the line. Good morning, Cassandra. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi. Yeah, I think this is a really interesting thing to talk about as far as in relation to the new Trump administration when he's talking about kind of dismantling EPA regulations. I think this is one of those really important times that we have to think about the state and how we can kind of fight against these kind of
Your son has opinions, and we get it, too. We get it.
He wants to chime in, Cassandra. That's okay.
But I think doing this more at a local level, like this county has, is going to be really important for our individual states to fight against this new administration and how they're going to try to dismantle the EPA.
You make a great point, Cassandra. Absolutely. That should be concerning to all of us, even if we don't live in a town that has a CAFO in it. There's a group called GROW, which stands for Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin. They are very happy about this ordinance that passed in this little town. It's a result of the community banding together and sharing their stories and fears. We have heard it all. Landowners have had their land used for manure spreading without permission. Residents have had to call the sheriff's department so they can leave their own driveway because of all the heavy truck traffic. Families have had to live with poisoned water that causes sickness and cancer. We know that one town standing up and protecting themselves isn't enough, but everyone deserves to have access to clean water and safe roads across Wisconsin, whether you're in Maiden Rock, again, which is in Pierce County, or Milwaukee. Corporate greed gets in the way of that dream becoming reality. In 2025, we hope to see even more towns stand up and pass ordinances of their own. Again, that was a statement from GROW, which is Grassroots Organizing Western Wisconsin.
Yeah. You know, something it's a little bit similar that I saw that these are issues being taken up. There was a ballot measure in California to ban them outright in Sonoma, which is actually very liberal, too. And it got shot down. 85% of the vote said no. Wow. I thought that was very, I wasn't, and I thought about it, maybe it's like, maybe it's not a matter, because Pierce County isn't saying no. They're saying yes, but here are the steps. And maybe that's where California maybe failed. Maybe they could have gone a little simpler instead of just saying outright no. And the people said, no, nah, we're voting for Kamala, but we're also voting for farmers as well. So it was interesting to see the dichotomy between Sonoma County, California, and much smaller Pierce County, Wisconsin, and taking these steps. Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Especially California. You would have thought that would have got shot down almost instantaneously.
Yeah. Yeah. So we do have another caller on the line. We have Mary from Menominee, who used to live in Pierce County, near Pierce County. Mary, how you doing today?
I'm fine. Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Absolutely, Mary. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yep. Go ahead.
All right. Yes. Earlier this year, there was a huge meeting because this farm factory was going under the radar and was going to expand, and people packed the room in Pierce County. I'm so proud of the Pierce County residents for standing up. Even with 1,600 cows, they were spreading their manure on other people's property. So the expansion was just out of the question. And it really, really would have affected the streams, the water, the beautiful environment that we have there. But when we talk about this, it's a factory. It's not what we consider from our upbringing farm.
Yeah.
They are almost, I would compare them to puppy mills because this is what they do. And it's really sad. So we have to be really conscientious of stopping these big factories from taking over our environment. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for chiming in on that. And I think you make a really good point, too, though. It's if the residents know what's going on, it's about communication and it's making sure that people understand what's happening. And I don't know that always happens, that everyone is well informed about it. Alicia on the live stream says, I know Ledgeview is dealing with a CAFO and I haven't seen anything from the previous rep, John Mako, or the new one, Shea Sortwell. If they live in that area, this would be a good time to contact your legislators.
Absolutely.
And find out what's going on, because this isn't going to go away.
No. And Mary brings up a really good point, too. If they were having a hard time and they weren't doing their job with 1,700, 6,500 is nearly three times the amount. And those things are not going to be roaming the fields. They are going to be locked into probably very tight stalls and then let out to do their thing. And it's going to affect everyone, whether it's their water, their fields, whatnot. But this is, as Tom said on the live stream, good on Pierce County. Good for Pierce County for taking control of this.
Absolutely. All right. We have news coming up next. And also Tom said, Jane, don't let Robin Boss know you're working from home. Don't tell him. I'm sure he doesn't.
We have a survey.
I'm pretty
it works
sure
out.
He doesn't listen. News, like I said, is coming up next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the vast statewide, countrywide, potentially global Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
CBS News Brief. Syria's new Islamist leaders are promising to turn over an American who had been in a prison there for months. CBS's Margaret Brennan says the U.S. is trying to get a read on the group's leader, Mohammed al-Jilani.
So this is wait and see because he's publicly signaling he wants to chart a new path. In the meantime, the Biden administration is still carrying out strikes against ISIS, a different terror group in Syria.
Times Person of the Year, President-elect Donald Trump, tells the magazine what his immigration plans are.
Trump vowed to deliver on his campaign promise to conduct mass deportations of more than 11 million undocumented immigrants using law enforcement and potentially the military.
CBS's Torian Small. White House National Security Advisor John Kirby weighs in on the mysterious drones being spotted over New Jersey.
We certainly take seriously the threat that can be posed by unmanned aircraft systems, which is why law enforcement and other agencies continue to support New Jersey and investigate the reports.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the Packers and the Seahawks Sunday night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers take on the Seattle Seahawks on Sunday night football. Green Bay hoping some of their players are ready to return to action, like linebacker Edgerrin Cooper, who's been impressive as a rookie until he suffered a hamstring injury in practice 3 weeks ago.
It means a lot. It's been a long, long 3 weeks. I'm just ready to go out there and just play as hard as I could and make plays.
NBA, the Bucks are in Vegas. They face the Atlanta Hawks tomorrow at 3:30 in the NBA Cup semifinals. Women's college volleyball tonight, NCAA regionals, the Badgers in Lincoln, Nebraska, for a rematch with Texas A&M, a team they beat 2 months ago. Wisconsin C.C. Crawford asked how they've improved.
We've grown so much as a team, not only on the court, but off the court. One thing we worked on the beginning of the year was communication, and we've excelled in that. Obviously, we played them earlier in the season, but they're a different team now. It's been 2 months. Same thing for us. We're a different team now, so it'll be a fun matchup.
That's the Badgers' C.C. Crawford. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. In Yellowstone spinoff news, there will be a spinoff of Yellowstone. Deadline reports that Kelly Riley and Cole Hauser will continue their roles as Beth Dutton and Rip Wheeler in the offshoot. It looks like the two characters will survive the purge of Yellowstone cast members as characters have been killed off prolifically in season 5. The series finale airs this coming Sunday night. Hollywood loves to speculate. Wicked and Moana 2 have been raking in big returns when it comes to the box office, and that should continue through this weekend, with Deadline.com reporting that the Moana sequel should be number one again with roughly a $28 million haul, with Wicked in second place at about $20 million. If that holds true, both films will crush Marvel's extended Spider-Verse Kraven the Hunter and Warner Brothers' new Lord of the Rings film, which prognosticators are saying should open at about $15 million and $7 million respectively. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. In the overnight, mostly clear skies, light winds, and temperatures just a bit colder than 10 below zero. Pretty good rebound, though, into Friday. Still frigid in the afternoon, though, with highs in the middle teens, sunny skies. We'll see more clouds Friday night. Currently 7 degrees below zero.
Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Michigan man leads lawnmower chase. I'll stop, says the suspect. Instead, he reaches under the seat and pulls out a gun.
Shoots himself in the hand.
The deputy has his taser trained on him, and yes, he tased him.
I'm not advocating him for crime, but boost something that goes faster than cop on foot.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
We're going to meet each other out in beautiful Seattle. My youngest godson lives out there. He works for the Navy at the Bremerton Naval Shipyard.
This is like your trip to L.A. There's always a connection over here.
Well, sure, because there's no hotel cost. I crash on people's couches. Right?
You are as innovative as you are cheap. That's a beautiful thing. You are correct, thrifty, my friend. Are you sure Todd's a former Republican? Yes. Yes, he is.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, a review of the latest Trump transition troubles with Courier Newsroom national correspondent Kia Vakil and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Come in and leave your mind open.
good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, and Sweet Cal B coming to you respectively from my dining room and also at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join the show. You can call, you can text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, it's underway. Civic Media's latest statewide text to win contest, our grown-up gift list contest, will kick in next hour. So right after the 11 o'clock news, we're going to have a keyword for you, and you want to text that in via the Civic Media app. So you will have a chance once you text in that keyword on the Civic Media app. You'll have a shot at either $100 in cash or an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. And then everyone who enters, whether you win that hour or not, will be on the grant, be eligible for one of the 8 grand prizes, everything from espresso machines to robot vacuums to a snowblower. So make sure you are ready to go after the 11 o'clock news. Go to wherever you get your apps and download the Civic Media app, so you can text in the keyword right after the 11 o'clock news around 11:06 or so. Very excited to have our next guest join us. He led communications for National Security Leaders for America. Neil Erwitz is here. We were introduced by our friend Randy Manner, former retired Major General. Nice to meet you, Neil. Thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
Great to meet you, too, and thanks so much for having me on. I'm as good as could possibly be expected, given what's going to happen in, let's say, 40 days, give or take.
Yeah. Second Trump administration is coming. It is going to happen. And you had an opinion piece on usnews.com, and we will include this in the show notes after the show is over. But here is what the headline reads: How Dems Fight Back. Treat Trump like a potty training toddler.
You might have been able to tell what's top of mind for me right now. I have a 6-year-old. We did this for her already, and a 3-year-old who is in the throes of potty training. I'll spare you all the details.
Yeah.
But the way to get him to use the potty is bribery and outright manipulation. Hey, you see your sister use the potty. Don't you want to use the potty? And good job, buddy. Way to use the potty. So I guess the basic thesis of the piece is we've got to do the same for Trump. And, you know, I will dispose of the, you know, 800-pound elephant in the room or whatever the phrase is. I hate doing it. I do not, from the core of who I am, I think Trump is bad for America. I think Trump is bad for us as individual people. I think he's a threat to democracy. But that's exactly why we have to manipulate him with praise.
Well, here's one portion, yeah. I want to read from your piece that you have in U.S. News. We need to praise him effusively every time he even approximates doing the right thing. We need to laud him for every mainstream, reasonably competent appointment he makes, for every bipartisan bill he supports, and for any time he refrains from outrageous or unlawful actions and negotiates with Congress instead. And I guess I understand the premise of it. Is that going to be enough to keep him in check if we just tell him how great he is all the time? Because he's always led by his worst instincts, it seems.
Look, I'm not going to say that he's a saint, by obviously. What I will say is it's worked for our foreign adversaries with him. That Putin gets exactly what he wants out of him. How? A quick compliment. Mm-hmm. Xi Jinping gets, you know, took him to the cleaners on in the trade deal he signed, but you know he let Trump pretend that he won. And then there's the most obvious example, Kim Jong Un. And the love letters, which I still don't understand, but it worked. He got that Kim Jong-un got that international summit that he wanted. He got to keep building his nuclear program with no further pressure. And all he had to do was write some nice things in a private letter. So Trump goes to where the praise is. We saw it with that really grotesque, you know, North Korea style, everybody go around the table and praise Trump in his first cabinet meeting in his first administration. So clearly he likes praise.
Yes.
Clearly he is susceptible to it. So leverage it is what I'm saying. Leverage an obvious vulnerability of his to, say, keep our democracy on the rails, to keep our economy on the rails, to keep mass deportations, to keep him away from this idea of getting rid of birthright citizenship, which, no, he's not legally allowed to do, but the law is only as strong as the people who enforce it.
Well, going back to the whole birthright citizenship issue, that is amazing to me because Donald Trump's first wife, Ivana, had the first two kids before she was a citizen.
There's an obvious joke here about his real motivations being dealing with Eric and Donald Trump Jr. finally. But you're right. I mean, the hypocrisy is astounding. But I guess what we have to do is discipline ourselves, train ourselves to praise him for not following through on that.
Does that also say, go on, Neil.
Oh, go ahead, please.
I was like, does that also have to apply? Does that apply to his fervent audience too? Who, I mean, if we say to Trump, Pam Bondi, she's not Matt Gaetz. Good job. But we're not saying that to his followers as well. It sort of builds this line of like, well, what do you really mean? And you don't really like, they're always looking for reasons to call you a traitor, or that you're not American enough, or you don't love Trump enough. It seems like a large undertaking to say like, all right, now I have to pay these compliments to this guy, but I now have to like kind of almost compliment the people who come along with them.
Yeah, I mean, to the extent that they're going to be involved in those sorts of decisions, yeah. I mean, we need to be able to say Trump did the grown-up thing. Trump did an intelligent thing in making Marco Rubio Secretary of State. And if that means praising, you know, the people in his inner circle for making that decision, if that means praising Susie Wiles, and if that means, by extension, praising anybody in his, media ecosystem, I'm sure there's a better word for this, yeah. But praising anybody in that ecosystem who also supports the Rubio nomination, so be it. It's a tough pill to swallow, but it's one we kind of have to, because the alternative to Marco Rubio is God only knows who. Nick Fuentes, you know.
Oh my God.
I mean,
hey, why not, right?
Yeah, I think I'm joking, but I'm not sure I'm joking.
Well, I mean, you have plenty of reason to say why Nick Fuentes could be on a short list somewhere. I mean, some of these appointments are just, I mean, he is now, he's also appointing people who would be considered his enemies, you know, people who ran against him, people who wrote, but it also goes to show that there is no such thing as a long-term grudge that will keep you out of his sphere if you don't come in, bow down, kiss the ring, tell him his hair is great, and that's it, and then boom, you are Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, I mean, well, and that it's funny you bring up Secretary of Defense, because that's where the line is of, you know, the more ammunition, pardon the pun, that we spend praising Rubio and praising, you know, even picks that are qualified, even if we don't really like them, like Doug Burgum, is qualified to be Secretary of the Interior. He understands what the department does. I don't like what he's going to do with it, but he at least understands what the department does. The more time we spend praising those, the more Trump feels, oh, okay, these are the things that are going to get me that praise that I crave, so I'm going to do them. You know, if I offered my son broccoli every time he went to the potty instead of M&Ms, he's not going to go to the potty. And yes, I know I am.
This is where we are.
You're absolutely right. I'm not going to the bathroom if someone gives me broccoli. I'm like, I'll take an M&Ms. Yeah. Peanut, please.
Peanut, yes. We're worried he'll choke on them, but he likes the peanut butter filled ones.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, those are delicious.
If you're just joining us, Neil Erwitz is our guest. He was a speechwriter and advisor to the Secretary of the Navy from 2021 to 2023, and he has an article in U.S. News that we will include in our show notes, and the title reads, How Dems Fight Back, Treat Trump Like a Potty Training Toddler, and essentially it's about reinforcing when he actually does appoint someone or enact some legislation that isn't obviously horrible.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Which is something, I mean, I'm honestly, Jane and Neil, I feel like that we've been doing this for a long time anyways. It's like, if he goes to the debate and he doesn't act like a monster, what a win. If he acts magnanimously towards world leaders, whew, good job, buddy. You know, I feel like we have been treating him with those kinds of kid gloves since he descended from the golden escalator in 2015. So it's not like this is out of the question either. And we've really seen this, and I don't know how you feel about this, Neil, but like we've really seen this, we've talked about this a lot in the media, how all of a sudden how all the major news markets have just kind of gone soft on him as if a way of saying, don't hurt us. We like you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's no question he's been graded on a curve for a decade now. He regularly gets points of policy confused that if Dan Quayle had done them, would have been the end of his career. Mm-hmm. Remember, we still think Dan Quayle is an idiot because he added an extra letter to a word my daughter knows how to spell. Trump has blown so far past that. Like, there's no question that he gets graded on a curve. I guess my point is really how do we use that to our advantage? Mm-hmm. And for what it's worth, I do think there are some things that would serve his base that we can genuinely praise him for. The biggest one being blue collar job training. It is 100% obvious that our economy desperately needs more things like electricians, welders, plumbers. Mm-hmm. The number of job openings is astounding. Those are jobs that, you know, that are normally filled by youngish, non-college educated men. We need more. Invest in that. Give him that win. And praise him to the moon if he actually pursues it. Because that would be a genuine piece of good policy that could lower the anger of the country. And if he's able to get that, my genuine hat's off. At that point, I'm no longer manipulating him. I'm genuinely happy for him.
Is that something that he's actually mentioned, Neil, about investing in more training programs and like apprenticeships?
People around him have, you know, and that's what it'll take. I think enough people around him for.
We're going to take a short commercial break, and we will continue our conversation with Neil Erwitz. If you would like to chime in, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or what used to be Twitter. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids' home of Nightlight with Peach Schwabe.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was when they moved the camera. Whenever it's the red alert. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he got to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Check the back seat. Check the back seat.
All right, come here.
Check the back seat.
Gets in your head, right? Good. Because every year, dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat of a car by a parent or caregiver. All never thought it could happen to them. But with changes in routines, distractions, or a sleeping child, it can happen to anyone. Parked cars get hot, fast, and can be deadly. So get it in your head.
Check the backseat.
A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Gal B coming to you live, respectively, from my dining room and also at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. Our guest is Neil Erwitz. He was a speechwriter and advisor to the Secretary of the Navy for several years and also penned a column in U.S. News called How Dems Fight Back, Treat Trump Like a Potty Training Toddler. And I certainly understand the reasoning behind it. You have said, Neil, again, when he makes a good pick for a cabinet nominee or actually support some good legislation, people should encourage that and encourage those kinds of things. But let's talk about some of his cabinet nominees. Pete Hegseth continues to be very, very controversial, although it seems like people like Jody Ernst now of Iowa are softening up on that. Is he the most qualified person to be the Secretary of the Department of Defense?
No, he's not in the top 50.
Not in the top 50.
Yeah. He's not in the top 50 Republicans who hold similar beliefs. The fact of the matter, you know, Adam Smith, who is the ranking member of the House Armed Services Committee, a Democrat, but who has been intimately involved in armed services issues for 20 something years now, was asked about the nomination right after it was announced. And Adam Smith said, I had to look up who it was. I didn't know who he was until 20 minutes ago. The fact of the matter is there are countless people in the defense world, which is, you know, where I come from, the area I understand the best. There are countless people with similar beliefs to him, people who think that we have, you know, lost our focus on lethality and deterrence, people who think that we waste a lot of money that should be reappropriated within the Pentagon, but who don't have his significant baggage of he has a drinking problem. And look, I'm not going to make fun of him for that because that's, you know, it's a serious thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But that also means, but you don't put him in the nuclear chain of command if he has a drinking problem. That's just.
Well, doesn't that just make him such an easy mark for our enemies?
It makes him an easy mark. It makes him blackmailable.
Yeah.
And it means that when the chips are down and the metaphorical 3 a.m. phone call comes in, he might be battling a hangover. And I do not mean that as a joke. I want to make that 1,000% clear. It's a real medical problem, but it's also not one you work out in one of the 3 or 4 most stressful jobs in the world.
Well, and also even going back to his former, you know, he headed up 2 veterans organizations that were relatively small. And from the reporting that has come out from this, he mismanaged them so badly that both of them went bankrupt. And now you're going to put him in charge of an agency that has a budget that's probably 900,000 times bigger.
830 billion, but who's counting? with 3 million employees, if you count people who are in uniform. I don't know how he's going to manage it, because remember, he's never served in the Pentagon. He's never served in a senior civilian or a senior uniformed role at the Pentagon. He is going to have a real problem. I do not, at the end of the day, understand why the insistence on him when there are so many like-minded people who don't have his back.
I mean, honestly, you said earlier that he wouldn't be the top 50. I mean, I'm not in the military. I've never been in the military. But he doesn't sound like he should be in the top 1,000. I mean,
you could have given me 1,000 guesses as to who Trump's SecDef nominee would be, and his name wouldn't have come up. I had to look him up when he was named.
But you know what probably worked to his advantage, Neil, is that he was on Fox News complimenting Trump all the time.
Mm.
Yeah, but all of them do that.
True. Yeah. It's true. Like, that is the one thing they have in common, yes.
Yeah, you can't throw a rock at the GOP headquarters in Washington without hitting somebody who scoots over to Fox and kisses the ring.
Well, you have to. If you don't, you get primaried. You're done. You are done. And that's the scariest part, is that there's no dissension even thought about in that party. There's no idea of like, oh, well, maybe I have a different idea. No, you don't. You don't have a different idea. You have this idea. And if you don't like it, there's the door.
Yeah. There is too much of that.
Yeah.
There is way, way, way too much of that, which, you know, and I know I'm kind of coming full circle here, but it makes it all the more important to make that one allowable idea, one that's okay for the country. Yeah. And that means you praise the ever loving hell out of it. Pardon my lunch.
And given some peanut M&Ms, maybe that'll help too.
There it is.
Neil Hurwitz has been our guest. Thank you so very, very much for your time, Neil. We will.
Thank
we
you.
Will,
this
we'll
is come a real back lot around of fun.
And we'll come back around and get you back on in a month or so and see
That'd
where
be terrific.
We are then. News is coming up
so
next.
Much.
Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Mayer on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we will be recombobulating Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulationary to break down all the news, and we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
When severe weather hits and the power goes out, do you have a plan? For reliable power and peace of mind, propane can do that.
It only takes about 10 seconds for a propane-powered generator to restore power to your home. So no matter what Mother Nature has in store, you know you're prepared. Learn more at WIPGA.org. This message is sponsored by your local propane provider and the Wisconsin Propane Education and Research Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Wallace. Syria and Ukraine will be on the agenda when President Biden takes part in a virtual G7 meeting today. CBS's Kristen Brown.
The White House says a main topic of conversation will be Ukraine. The seven countries have given Ukraine a $50 billion loan, along with military and security assistance. The leaders also plan to discuss the latest developments in Syria as rebels there try to restore order after ousting President Bashar al-Assad. This is likely to be Biden's final G7 meeting before he leaves office.
Russia has launched a massive missile attack on Ukraine's energy sector. With Ukraine on the Pentagon's mind, U.S. officials have announced another successful test of a hypersonic missile.
This was the second successful test by the United States of such a weapons platform. Then it was the first time that they actually used a so-called battery operations center and transporter erector launcher, which obviously would be necessary, particularly for an army